the mother humping land of
tongue twisters, titty twisters, and purple nurples.
It's the gangster humping land of.
There's some sweet tea in the fridge if y'all are thirsty.
It's the sandal wearing land of. It's the garbage raping land of.
Discarded giant pubic hair.
The suffering of tiny baby cows.
The girthy wang member of your mother.
It's the mother humping land of. It's the mother humping land of. It's the mother humping land of. It's the mother humping land of.
Welcome back.
We're back.
We're still here.
And Nick is...
No, nobody three-part harmonied with me.
Well, last time we tried to do that, you...
Yeah, I fucked it up. I was trying to make up for it.
That usually
backfires.
By
not notifying anyone about what my intentions were, and then just kind of monotonely moaning back here.
It worked.
Seems about right.
Like redemption.
Like a one-part harmony ghost.
Oh. That'd be a shitty ghost. I wouldn't want that.
Yeah, yeah. I've only got one note. And I'm not like, whoa! I'm like, oh. So the people I'm haunting are like, did we leave like the washing machine on? I don't...
No, the washing machine is not on.
It's not the washing machine, it's the ago. That bassy noise is actually kind of pleasing. I'm going to go to sleep now. Keep going.
Jesse, are you still drinking the same fucking beer?
Mm-hmm.
Is God it disgustingly
it. Yeah.
warm and gross?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have another beer?
Yeah, do you not have any more beer?
There's some.
You should at least get another beer.
Acquire a beer.
Like one sir. Beer.
It's way over there.
Stop punishing yourself. We can pause this thing, or we can just let you go and get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you go, and Mel and I will entertain the listeners with our hilarious banter. I will mostly be a monotone ghost, and then she will respond.
It's mostly going to be Nick being a monotone ghost.
Hello.
Got it.
Go get a beer.
Do it.
Get a beer. I will haunt you in monotone.
Oh, my God. Oh, that was very nice.
Yeah, two-part harmony monotone ghost haunting. Get a beer.
I can't
yes,
stand
we
up.
Yes, we fucking can't.
He's
you
clearly,
familiar with
he's
life?
He's clearly resistant. Look at him. He has his steel boots on, so he's like, I'm boots, and I'm steel. And
yeah.
I'm not going to get another beer.
I will set Gilbert name. The exposition donkey on you.
Okay. I don't even know how to respond to that threat.
Yeah, I don't. That's why I was just like, okay.
Scary.
I'm moving right past that.
So what story are we doing?
This is the other white meeks part 3.
Oh my god.
Oh so, no. I hope y'all are ready because it's about to get really fucking weird up in here. Are you guys ready?
I was.
Okay.
The ghost is ready.
I also am ready.
Hi, narrator here. I thought I'd pop in and say a few words before we got started with the latest installment of the shit show that this story known as The Other White Meeks is. I really wanted to provide a recap for you, dear listener. I truly did. But I fell asleep while trying to read through the previous two stories. There was, dare I say, so much insanity that my wee little narrator brain couldn't take it. It simply shut down. I was conscious 1 minute, and the next minute my face was pressed into the keyboard so hard that it was making that sound. You know, the annoying beepy buzzy sound? Oh wait, you don't know? Here it is.
I don't know if you could hear that at all, Jay.
I could not hear that.
Okay, yep. So.
All right. So
you got
it was
15
hilarious.
Seconds of wasted space. But yes, it was a beep, beep, beep sound for when you have a key pressed down for too long on the keyboard.
Like, I think I know the sound. Maybe.
So now you know that sound, but amplified by about a million because my ear was right next to the speaker, and there was drool on the mouse pad, which meant I couldn't even stop the damn thing from beeping at me. So, from what I can gather, here's what we've got. Rick Meeks, breaker of molds, denier of the douchening. Meeks, although he's categorized as a hero, cuts his brother Flanagan's face off. I'm not exactly sure how heroic that is, but who am I to judge? I'm just the narrator. Mm-hmm. Some amount of years pass. 10, 20, 80? I'm not sure. The timeline is not at all linear. In the chouch fields of Mr. Bojangles, we meet Wibblewops McDurfee, victim of chouch-related violence and town drunk extraordinaire. Then, there's something about zombie duck children? And finally, Ronald Frump and the monster of chouch fields of Mr. Bojangles and a broken mirror. And mirror. So, that takes care of part one. I would ask if you have any questions, but you can really go fuck yourself. I can't even understand the words that I'm saying, let alone contemplate how I would possibly formulate a response to any question. So, let's get into part two. Mm-hmm. A goblin named Vexage, a leaf named Elf, oh wait, that's not right, an elf named Leaf, many much thunder strikes, Thrum! He's so dreamy. Completely unfuckwittable. He's right. We all need more men like Thrum in our lives. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Returning to the story. Professor Shitstorm completely unloyal gnome, Fiddlesticks. We also learn that Professor Shitstorm Professor Shitstorm's life goal is to lure Ronald Frump to his evil manor. So good. We're all on the same page now. We can progress. Wait, what's that? Susan? Is your hand up? What's that? You have a question? No, I won't answer that, Susan. You agreed we never talk about that. Susan, no. Susan! I'm so sorry, listeners. I have to go take care of this Susan situation before it escalates.
Fucking Susan.
So that's all, folks. Here's the story. The title of the story is, Whose Story Is It Anyway?
Oh, God.
Get ready, because it gets fucking weird.
I'm so excited.
I'm prepared.
Hate, a.k.a. Flanagan's, a.k.a. the mangled remains of a young man who had been put through the fabled douchening and now had no face, sat in a high-backed chair hewn of a mighty oak tree. The sheen on the chair was illustrious, and Hate, although he had no face, liked to imagine himself looking into the sheen to reflect upon his once beautiful face and remember his once beautiful family, who were all now dead.
Oh.
Well, not literally, or maybe literally, but he really didn't know or care because he was Hate now. The glorious high-backed chair, which he had actually whittled from a mighty oak tree using his mechanically enhanced rotor hand, sat behind an equally illustrious and shiny desk.
Wait. He has a mechanically enhanced rotor hand?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I guess in the last story we did say that the professor had rebuilt his body to be some kind of crazy monstrosity.
Yeah, so he's like super
crazy. He's got whatever the fuck he wants.
Okay, I'm with you.
Nice.
Next to the desk on the floor was a Titan Arum, or, for the uneducated amongst us, a corpse flower. Corpse flower wasn't currently blooming, but when it did, it would mimic the smell of rotting corpses in order to attract insects to help with the pollination process. Mm-hmm. It also looks like raw meat, which Hate found rather comforting.
Double sexy.
Corpsey flow! Tell me, how in the fuck am I supposed to itemize my expenses on orc Botox? I'm trying to claim the squirrel oil I need to keep my abomination of a body moving, and I can't figure out which form to use. For Satan's sake, I'm going to have to live chat with one of the orc fairies orc Botox keeps enslaved in their tax pits. And you know how I hate talking to others, especially those orc fairies. They always try to upsell you.
Fuck you, orc Botox.
Please, Saya, consider purchasing the added protection for just $45.99 per month from now until after you die. You can purchase the security and safety of one eternally grateful orc fairy. Please, God, save me. I haven't talked to anyone since. Yes, Saya, thank you for your call today.
I imagine that's how all customer service reps are.
Mm-hmm.
Kate looked towards the corpse flower in hopes that it would, for the first time ever, say something in response. But the disgusting plant just sat there oozing its disgustingness into the room.
Ew.
Remaining silent, remaining stealthy, plotting.
Mm-hmm.
I really hoped that by this point, Professor Shitstorm would have moved me into the evil manor. But no! He thinks Ronald Frump is more important. It looks like I'm going to have to take matters into my own hands. And then, knuckles cracking, which I cannot do.
Snappy snap, snip snap.
What neither Professor Shitstorm... or Fiddlesticks, remember the little backstabbing gnome from episode 2? Seemed to know was that the hero of our sordid tale, Rick Meeks, or anti-hero as some narrators might refer to him, had actually dispatched the true Ronald Frump quite some time ago, and the creature masquerading as Ronald Frump was actually the creature, the beast, the monster of the chouch fields of Mr. Bojangles. The creature, the beast, the monster, had taken up the guise of Ronald Frump in order to more stealthily infiltrate Professor Shitstorm's evil lair.
If any time you want me to stop doing that, I will.
But he only appeared as Ronald Frump to others. When the creature, the beast, the monster, looked into the mirror, he saw... Well, what he saw is best left for a later discussion.
Hmm?
Oh, hi! Narrator here again. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to read the pause for dramatic effect bit. Someone is a sloppy writer. So, one night, Hate decides that he's going to traverse the underground path to find his way to Professor Shitstorm's lair. Whatever Shitstorm was doing in his lair really wasn't progressing the narrative at all. Fiddlesticks used to help Hate navigate the caverns, given that he didn't have any eyes to help see his path, but the little gnome hadn't been around since Hate had given him his very own sock.
No one's gonna get sued in this story.
Nope.
Hate assumed that Fiddlesticks was likely just spending hours J-O-ing everywhere, but he could neither confirm or deny this. Anyhow, one night... Using his tongue as an echolocating clicker device, you know, like bats and blind people do, Hate made his way through the stanky, sticky, cobwebbed, mildewed underground to Shitstorm's lair. At one point, he must have taken a wrong turn, because he could suddenly feel warmth in the air. He could smell the unmistakable smell of cheesy, gooey pepperoni pizza. And he heard the sounds of small children screeching and change machines tinging their small rewards into metal dishes. He also thought he heard the mechanical sounds of animatronic mice clicking on static instruments. But then he realized that animatronic mice clicking on instruments was insane. So, he used his still mangled but now magnetic hand to follow the line of the wall back towards the door. That was supposed to be Chuck E. Cheese?
Yeah.
Oh, I was 100%
yeah,
with you.
Okay. Nobody left, so then I felt, now I feel dumb. Anyway, let's pretend like that didn't happen. Hey, Steven,
we'll
edit
that
in post.
Yeah.
I want to go to Chuck E. Cheese. I don't know what you're talking about.
Hate made his way back to the main underground path, and soon he could smell the distinctive tang of metallurgy and dark magic.
Mm.
It smelled like a centaur's dick dipped in easy cheese and marshmallows.
Oh,
hell. Oh God.
Oh, sweet and savory and dick.
That really paints the picture, though. Well done.
I really feel like that should be the tagline under the Unholy Taco Stand. Sweet and savory and dick.
Is it nacho cheese and like melted marshmallows or how?
I did say easy cheese, but there
oh,
is
easy.
Nacho
I'm
easy
sorry.
Cheese. No, it's fine.
So
fine.
Do you like skewer the marshmallows with your junk and then squirt the
yeah,
easy
I
cheese on?
I don't know.
And then fire.
Yeah, fire.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sorry. I thought we had to establish that.
Yeah, I think that's a good
Please continue.
That was.
Oh, man.
Hate got an immediate hofty, which was not really saying much because most of his penis had been destroyed during the failed childhood experiment.
Oh, God.
Which really only impacted him when he tried to J-O, pee, or had a wet dream.
So all the time?
It was the worst when he had a wet dream because his half-peener would still get somewhat erect, but when he came, it always spurted right into his half-open sleeping mouth. And in between his toes. Which would naturally wake him up, and then he could never get back to sleep.
Not in the mouth. In between the toes is what woke him up. Okay, got it.
So, oh, God. With his hofty guiding him along the walls, Hate rounded what he thought was a corner. He, of course, couldn't be 100% certain because he couldn't fucking see, and heard the unmistakable voice of Professor Shitstorm. Yeah, thank you.
I skipped the last two or three. I thought we were off of it.
No! Move that camera over there. I told you, I have to have at least 10 lights on me at all times, and... No! God damn it! I told you, Stephen, my right side. Do you know the difference? Show me your right hand. There, that's a good boy.
Fucking Steve the intern!
Fucking Ronald Frump.
Oh, wait. Hate heard the twang of an arrow being released from a quiver, the thwack of the arrow thudding into meat, and then the scream of, he assumed, Steven. Ah! Then he heard softly, as though Shitstorm was speaking under his breath, "That will teach you to mix up right from left ever again, Steven."
Jesus.
To himself. Under his breath, Professor Shitstorm whispered, "That's the last time a minion will try to blame me for their incompetence. Where were Steven's parents? Why didn't they teach him the difference between right and left? Where were Steven's teachers? Why didn't they teach him the difference? As Steven's boss, I'm not responsible for teaching how to be fucking responsible. Fucking millennials."
Damn, we have a new intern now. Steven's dead.
Hate took a deep breath and adjusted his guise as Ronald Frump and turned the corner. "Oh, hi there. Narrator here again. I just wanted to let you know that this time I didn't read the pause for dramatic effect aloud. Oh, shit. I just undid that, didn't I? Well, damn. I suppose I'll learn. I mean, I've only been a narrator for the past 600 years, so really I'm a relative baby in the industry. And writing these days has really gotten a bit, lax? Wait, what's that? Oh, yes, back to the story." Professor Shitstorm stood in the middle of a circle of bright, hot, white lights. If Hate had eyes that weren't just useless lumps of coagulated egg white-looking goo, he would have been able to see Professor Shitstorm in a compromising position. The mad wizard had a glory boner and was balls deep in a vile, vile creation. Shitstorm stood on the ladder with his burnished red robe splitting down the center of his body. His sparse, wiry black chest hairs seemed to sparkle with the sheen of lights. His crotch was pumping towards the vile, vile creation.
You. Keep going.
The purplish head of his veiny cock was pushing through an 8-foot tall pile of Cheeto dust. With bronze yellow skin, a shitty blonde comb over, some stupid pouty lips pushed out beyond their comfort zone that reeked of an unearned sense of entitlement and self-importance, bullshit, and were overall a giant fucking douche of an evil spirit. That's right, folks. Professor Shitstorm was fucking the shit out of a Ronald Frump golem.
That explains so many things.
The golem, though, wasn't activated yet because Shitstorm hadn't figured out that his jizz wasn't the magical requirement needed to bring the inanimate creature to life, and thus had spent the last fortnight fucking himself raw while simultaneously liquidating the entire village of Cheetos Cheeto-like substances, and also orange cream pops? When he turned the corner, he boomed, "Shitstorm! What are you doing to the sacred replica of my body?" Don't ask how Hate, without eyes that could see, knew that Shitstorm was fucking a Frump Golem. He just knew. The instant Hate / Frump stepped into the room, the Golem began to twitch to life. But Shitstorm was so surprised by the sudden appearance of the new Frump. Remember, it's just Hate with a magical mirage spell to appear like Frump. That he lost his footing, and in slow motion, began to topple backwards off of the ladder. Suddenly, Hate / Frump found that he could see through the Frump Golem's eyes, and he could feel what the Frump Golem felt. And in that instant, Hate was livid. He burst out of his Frump Guy spell, and using the power of the Frump Golem, who was still being fucked by Shitstorm as he was falling backwards, Hate flexed his butt cheek so hard, the vein in his forehead popped with an audible, and he felt Shitstorm's dick break straight off.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I really went for it. Shitstorm instantly fell dead.
Oh.
You see, dear listeners, the only thing powering Professor Shitstorm was toxic masculinity that he kept bottled up in his fucking penis. And no matter how much he fucked the Frump Golem, J-O'd into the corner of his bedroom while crying into a handkerchief his mother had embroidered. Or catcalled his orctresses at Hooters. He never felt satisfied because toxic masculinity always ruins the party.
True.
Shitstorm's all dead. The Frump Golem, depleted of Hate's temporary power surge, crumbled into a sad pile of Cheeto and jizz dust. And Hate slumped backward against the dungeon wall. His head lolled onto his chest and drool slid down his cheek. His chest did not appear to arise. Then, from the doorway, a loud shout echoed through the chamber. "You're fired," I said. "Do I need to come and kill you a third time, Ronald Frump?" Rick Meeks confidently strode into the room with his beloved pearl-handled dagger in his hands. He took one look at the pile of Cheeto jizz dust and knew he was too late. He turned on heel to leave the room when he saw a brief movement out of the corner of his eye and quickly spun to see a sight that surprised the shit out of him. Literally, thank Satan he was wearing his brown breeches. Before Rick's shit could hit the floor, he found himself staring at the ceiling with a familiar face looking down at him. It was the face, pre-being cut off, of his brother, Flanagan. In that moment, Rick knew his time had run out, and he prepared himself to ascend towards the benevolent, six-breasted, four-mouthed Hydra of the heavens. His hands raised slowly, his boner even more slowly, and his lips puckered out to wait for the heavenly kiss. "Hey, fuckwit, get up here. I'm not gonna fucking kiss you, and I suggest you get that trouser snake under control before I have to tame it," a voice thundered over Rick's heavenly hallucination. Rick's eyes fluttered open. It was. It couldn't be, but it was. Hate, a.k.a. the mangled remains of a young man, a.k.a. the creature, the beast, the monster of the chouch fields of Mr. Bojangles, a.k.a. the brother who never hated his brother who had horribly disfigured him and left him for dead, a.k.a. Ronald Frump because of the mirage spell, pre-douchening, pre-face removal, pre-betrayal. It was Flanagan. Rick fell to Flanagan's feet and whispered, "I'm so sorry. Flanagan, no longer Hate because he had been transformed by the power surge of the Ronald Frump Golem and the power surge of love for his younger brother responded, "Get up here, douche knuckle. I think you at least owe me a hooker, or 12, and probably about 70 flagons of ale, to start." The two men embraced, and their peens touched. No, never mind. This isn't Skinamax. That's an entirely different story. If you want to hear that, though, you can tune into Channel 69 at 6 to 9 o'clock. The two men embraced. They turned and, with hands over one another's shoulders, walked towards the dungeon's door. We've got some catching up to do. Flanagan sniffed over his shoulder because it really smelled like shit for some reason. And that is the tale of the other white Meeks. Fade to black.
Whoa.
Oh, wait. Narrator here. One more thing. Alone in the background, a mirror lies shattered on the floor, and tiny glass shards begin to fall.
No.
As if the mirror itself is crying. But that, my friends, is a tale for another time. And that's it.
God damn! No, you're going to have to stop being smarter than the rest of us if you're going to tell stories on this podcast.
God damn it.
I had to somehow make everything come together, and I tried. I hope it makes sense.
No, it works so well. Oh, my brains. It's like crisscrossing layers. I'm like, wait, that makes sense, but that makes... Yeah.
So...
Those are the sounds of my brain working.
Oh, my God.
The other white meat. I think Jesse's brain might have exploded.
I think you broke my eye. I don't know how. Jesus, man. That was donkey balls. Oh, my, like good donkey balls, though, not the nasty floppy kind.
Yeah, not the bad kind.
Yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad.
Wow, great story.
Yeah.
All was good.
Yeah.
I
don't know if I should interpret the silence as like Jesse and I were busy
just joking about dicks and stuff.
I was also joking about dicks.
Yeah, but there were also like 7 or 8 layers going on.
There was lots of dick jokes.
It was like a 7-layer bean dip, but with penises.
A 7-layer peen dip?
Yeah.
Oh, a 7-layer peen dip.
That sounds good.
With the right kind of chips.
Good point.
You gotta have some sturdy chips. Like, you don't want like a floppy tortilla chip. You gotta have like a corn chip.
A rigid chip.
The rigid chip. You gotta have a rigid chip.
Mm-hmm. That could be the tagline.
Rigid chip.
You gotta have a rigid chip for a 7-layer bean dip. It even rhymes. Holy shit! Start the land of
I thought trademark. You meant that like that would be the tagline for the land of like.
No, it's tagline for the products we're gonna start releasing.
Oh.
The land of chips and dips.
I feel like we will never get those through, like, the FDA.
Oh, no, they will not be legal in America.
We will make them and send them to our devoted listeners.
Alright, Steve. Oh, I think I might have killed Steven.
Oh.
Did you send him 7-layer peen dip?
Oh, man, that's, like, no, because Steven was the fucking...
He got an arrow in the chest. Yeah.
Well, he should have known his right from his left. Fucking millennial.
That is true.
Also, I integrated some common daily bitch session thing. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody likes doing taxes. Nobody likes to...
I love that there were tax dungeons.
Yeah.
Because I think that's about right.
Yeah, like, when you're doing TurboTax and it's like, or QuickTax, and it's like, oh, yeah, talk to our auditor, or not auditors, whatever, our orc fairies who are chained to this desk who never get to leave because you can do your taxes 24 fucking hours a day.
Mm-hmm. Now I can't help but think of H&R Prison Block.
Yep.
And that is all she wrote.
The end.
The land of thanks you for wasting your time listening to this shit. Your mother would be very proud of your perseverance. Be sure to maintain a tight grip on your genitals until next time. Jesse, Mel, and Nick will be back again soon to take a pee-pee. In your ear holes.
It's the mother humping land of.